Well, there's a nice thing about November. The clocks have changed. We're back to Universal Time, or Greenwich Mean Time, as we usually call it. And in fact, you don't have to stay out too late to see the sky. But in fact, if you are prepared to have a long evening session, you have a chance, really, to see two of the most spectacular regions that we have in the sky. After the sun sets, high in the west, we have the region of Cygnus and Lyra and Aquila the Eagle. I've talked about that region of the sky on Jodcasts that have gone out during the late summer, perhaps August, September. So if you want to learn a bit more about that part of the sky, just go back to one of those earlier Jodcasts. In the south, as the sun is setting, and in the early evening, we have Pegasus. And not far from Pegasus, we have the nearest giant galaxy to us, the Andromeda Galaxy M31. And if you care to go to the night sky website, you can find that there's actually a chart to show you where to find it. You can either come up from Pegasus, or you can actually come down from the constellation Cassiopeia, which lies above and to the left of the constellation Andromeda, in which we can see the Andromeda Galaxy. I always think it's rather lovely that if we do see it through binoculars or even with just our eyes, the photons that are falling on our retina left there about 2.5 million years ago. We're literally looking back into time. But if you're prepared to stay up a little bit later, then we get this other beautiful region of the sky becoming visible, essentially the constellations around Orion. The first to rise is the constellation of Taurus, Taurus the Bull, with the bright reddish-orange star Aldebaran forming his eye. Aldebaran appears to be part of what is called the Hyades cluster, a very rich region of stars, best seen with binoculars, but in fact is actually nothing to do with the Hyades cluster and is about halfway between the Earth, our Sun, and the cluster. We just happen to see it in the same direction. Up and to the right of the Hyades cluster is perhaps one of the most beautiful sights we have in our northern sky. M45, the Pleiades cluster, beautifully seen with binoculars or a small telescope. We'll come back to the Pleiades in one of the highlights of the month. But I do love to look at some of the bright stars near the center. There's a beautiful little triplet of stars close to one of the brightest ones. And then a double star quite close where one of those stars is quite distinctly red. As evening draws on, Orion begins to rise above the eastern horizon. It contains the wonderful region of the Orion Nebula in the Sword of Orion below the three stars that make up its belt. Well, as we get a bit nearer Christmas and the New Year, we'll discuss Orion in detail. But really, you have a wonderfully rich skyscape in these early winter months. But what about the planets? Well, as the sun has set, Jupiter is perhaps the most prominent, which is not that high, perhaps 12 degrees in elevation in the southwest. It's quite a low elevation, so the atmosphere rather impedes our view with the telescope. But nevertheless, it is worth having a look at, and even a small telescope will show the four Galilean moons, Io, Europa, Ganymede and Callisto, as they weave their way around it. Well, Venus is the other evening star. Sadly, at the moment, it's not at very high elevation, but it can be seen as the sun has set, and again, I'll come back to that along with Jupiter, because they'll both be seen together rather nicely at the end of the month. Well, Saturn, having spent some time behind the sun, is now visible in the pre-dawn sky, and as the month progresses, it's higher and higher before the sun rises. In fact, at the end of the month, it's actually at an elevation of 40 degrees. So if you're prepared to get up, let's say at about 6 o'clock in the morning, just before, you can have a very good look at Saturn. And if you have got a telescope, it's perhaps worth pointing out that quite often, in those early hours before dawn, the atmosphere is quite calm, and you get a better view. Now, as I've mentioned before, sadly, at this time, the rings of Saturn are not very open. They're no more than about 4 degrees away from the line of sight. So the ring system isn't so easily visible, and as a result, of course, Saturn isn't as bright as we usually see it. And next year, in fact, those rings will become edge-on, and for a while will be essentially invisible. A nice time to look at it would actually be on the 21st and the 22nd of November, that's in the morning, when it would be very close to the thin crescent moon. That should look really rather nice. Now, Mercury, that passed between us and the Sun on the 6th of October, but it reappeared in the pre-dawn sky and reached what is called western elongation. That's when it's furthest in angle from the Sun, on the 22nd of October. So now, of course, in November, it's moving back towards the Sun. But you will still have a chance to see it during the first week of November at about 6 o'clock in the morning, low in the east-southeast. It's still got a magnitude of minus 0.8, which is pretty bright, so a pair of binoculars should enable you to pick it up. But you will need a good low eastern horizon. So that's at least a chance to see it until it comes round again on the other side of the Sun. So now let's have a look at just a few of the highlights of November. On November the 30th, Jupiter and Venus are very close to conjunction. They're within about 2 degrees of each other in the sky, and they'll be seen up and to the right of a thin waxing crescent moon. I think that's probably going to be one of the nicest sort of skyscapes we have a chance to see this month. That's the 21st, 22nd. Let's hope it's clear on at least one of those nights. We do in fact have two other lunar events this month. They're called lunar occultations, when the moon passes in front of something. On November the 6th, it will actually occult the planet Neptune, but sadly only if you lie towards the northwest of the United Kingdom. Take an imaginary line from the Lizard Peninsula up through York and going out into the North Sea somewhere around the top of the North York Moors. If you lie above that line, that's towards the northwest and Scotland and Ireland, then in fact you will see Neptune being occulted. Sadly, if you lie below and to the right, that's south and east of that line, you won't, but you'll still see Neptune just below the moon. A rather good thing to try and do is to get on that line where you have a chance to see what's called a grazing occultation, when the light from Neptune just disappears and reappears and disappears again as it comes through the mountains and valleys of the limb of the moon. And I know that track goes very close to Stoke-on-Trent in Staffordshire, which isn't too far from where we live here in Macclesfield. It may well be worth making a trip a little bit to the south, a bit to the east, from where we live here near Jodrell Bank, to have a chance to see a grazing occultation. They're not often visible. Later in the month, on the 13th of November, the moon passes in front of the Pleiades, and that's always rather fun, because you see the individual stars just disappear and then sometime later reappear. Sadly, it's the day of the full moon, so of course there's a lot of glare in the sky, and that will make the stars of the Pleiades cluster far less obvious. But it's still perhaps worth having a look. Again, it's about 6 o'clock in the evening to see the moon close to the Pleiades cluster and passing in front of it. We do have some meteor showers during November. The one that we normally talk about, and it's one of the sort of classic three or four of each year, is the Leonids, which we tend to see peaking around November the 17th and the 18th. And that usually gives us quite a good display. But sadly, the moon will be close to the radiant. Now, the radiant is where the meteors appear to come from. The moon will be near Leo. And so being bright, because it's not that long after the full moon on the 13th, as I've just said, it will in fact really hinder our view. Probably still worth having a go, because some of the Leonids can be quite bright, and you may still see them, but perhaps, sadly, not the best year to observe the Leonids. On the other hand, we may have more luck with two little groups called the Taurids. They're very long-lived groups. The northern Taurids, as they're called, peaks around the 4th to the 7th of November, whilst the southern Taurids, their radiance a little bit further south in Taurus, they peak over a very long time from the very end of October to the 7th of November. So either of these showers might be visible. You don't get that many per hour, but some of them can be quite bright, as in fact was observed in 2005. So here's a thought, having perhaps watched the fireworks display on November the 5th, if you stay up a bit longer after midnight, looking up to the south, to the right really of the Pleiades and Taurus, you have a reasonable chance of seeing one or two bright meteors. I hope it's a clear night, not just for that, but for observing the fireworks as well. Good hunting.